15. In chapter 13, let me read you from verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it is not given. The words, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And now look over at verse 51. Have you understood all these things? They say unto him, Yea. And he said unto them, Therefore, every scribe who hath been made a disciple to the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, who bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. And one other scripture in 1 Corinthians 4. We'll turn to other scriptures, but I want you to see this one especially. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and think of that last verse I just read to you. If you understand and you've been made a disciple to the kingdom of heaven, then you're likened to a man that is an householder who bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. A householder bringing things out. Now, in chapter 4, 1 Corinthians verse 1, let a man so account of us as of ministers of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. Here, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for all the treasures that thy word doth tell us of. Thy son has spoken of treasures, and thou dost tell us also we have this treasure in earthen vessels. So many times thou dost tell us of treasures. We are thankful that we have been made rich. Thou dost speak of those who are rich in faith. And thou dost tell us of those who are rich in material goods, like unto Zacchaeus, and he was rich. And thou dost tell us of those who are poor, but are rich in faith. We are thankful that thou dost distinguish between the wealth of earth and the wealth of heaven. We pray, our Father, that while being blessed, indeed give us this day our daily bread, but our Father, enrich us also with the treasures of heaven. We desire to understand somewhat of these words that we've read tonight. And so by thy Spirit, illumine us and guide us, we pray. Prepare hearts and lips, and since we confess our sins, be faithfully just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. First of all, I have a new Bible in my car, and if anyone can tell me from memory the 27 references that I gave you last week to the kingdom, I will give you that Bible. Will anyone try? All right. There are 27 references to the word mystery, starting in Matthew, ending in the book of Revelation. And when I told of the 27, one brother said something like this, there are so many of them, this will be a long and involved study, but it won't, for this reason. What you do is this. When you have 27 or 50 or 100 references, you look at them all, and then you define them, and then you categorize them, and then you expound them. But you'll find that when you have 27, when you start defining them, you'll find that many of them go in the same category. You have the same mystery repeated again and again. And because of that, you may have an amplification of this mystery or its duplication. However, God has not given us so very much, but He has given us a considerable amount of mysteries. And here is what is so strange to me, that if I am a minister of Christ, if I am a steward of the mysteries of God, then am I not responsible to know what those mysteries are and be able, as an householder, to bring out of my treasure things new and old? If this is so, what I've done to save face, if any brother told me about that, then the next week I came back, he had better not offer me a Bible, because I will secure that Bible. I will know them. Why? Because I understand that there are some things that God would have me to understand. For instance, when I read, "I would not have you ignorant, brethren," I say I'm going to go through and see every instance where God would not have me ignorant in what areas. And those are the ones that we specifically have to know. And if we are ministers of Christ, then we are stewards of the mysteries of God. What I'm going to do tonight is to mention a few words and show you from the Bible itself. I am amazed at how little is known from the Bible itself. When a question is approached, it is not approached from the Bible out, but theories and conjectures and feelings are mentioned, and then they are spoken, and it may be that once in a while the Bible is referred to. I cannot understand such a procedure. The only thing I do is go and see what God has said, and I go from there, and I make my statements to you from what God has made to me in the Word. And so if a man says something, I would assume that he has learned it from what God has told him by revelation. If not, why would a man say such a thing? Why would I have to retract something that I said that I could not show you from the Word of God? And so for that reason, if I asked you, what is the kingdom of heaven? And what is the kingdom of God? And can you show me from the Scripture any difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God? And what does the Bible mean when it speaks the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven? And if you can remember the things I'm going to tell you about that, and I want to tell you more, but if you can get a grasp on what the Bible means by the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, and whether God himself makes any distinction between them, and what is meant by the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, then you will be one who may not be able to answer yea when the Lord says, "Have you understood all these things?" They said, "Yea, I wonder." Because the Lord asked them, "Do you now understand?" But the way he asked it, it was that they barely understood. But at least let us begin to get a grasp on these things. All right. What is meant by the kingdom of heaven? It literally is this. The kingdom of the heaven. It is simply the rule of God. Now listen to me. The kingdom of heaven is simply the rule of God. And the kingdom of God is simply the rule of God. I'm going to show it to you twice. Turn to Psalm 103. Don't lose your place here. But turn to Psalm 103. And if you will remember the portions from the Bible, then you will not have to remember, as in some cases when I give you a definition, you do. But you have God's definition. In Psalm 103, look at verse 19. Psalm 103, verse 19. The Lord has established his throne in the heaven, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Listen to it again. the Lord hath established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. I told you that the kingdom of the heavens is how it is literally translated in Matthew 13:11, and it says in verse 19, the Lord hath established his throne in the heavens. That means that his seat of authority is in the heavens, and notice what that means. His kingdom ruleth over all. And so the kingdom of the heavens is the authority or the rule of God from heaven over all. Will you remember Psalm 103, verse 19? God has established his throne. That is the seat of authority. It is in heaven, and he ruleth over all. Having told you that, you should understand that when it says the kingdom of the heavens or the kingdom of God, they are interchangeable like this. Now listen, and you can grasp it. If I say, it has been announced by the White House, or if I say, it has been announced by President Reagan, what is the difference? You say, well, one of them is where he lives, and the other is the man who lives there. And so I may express it either as it has been announced by the White House using the place where our president resides, or I may say President Reagan announced the man who resides there. Now, when it says the kingdom of the heavens, it is speaking of God's residence. It says he hath established his throne in the heavens. God's White House is in heaven. And then it says, his kingdom ruleth over all. And so I can say, the kingdom of the heavens, that's the White House. If I say the kingdom of God, that is President Reagan. Because God is he who is upon that throne in heaven. And if I speak of the kingdom of the heavens, I'm speaking of the residence of God. And if I say the kingdom of God, I am speaking of him who resides in heaven. There is absolutely no difference in the wording. Matthew chooses to say the White House has announced, and Mark and Luke and John always speak of the kingdom of God, of him who resides in that White House. God resides in heaven. Now, I will show you this in a moment. Turn in Matthew chapter 19. Because I was told all of these things so many years ago as a young man, and when you're studying them at first, you're just trying to remember the right answer so you can pass the examination. But afterwards, you're supposed to go out as a Berean and search the scriptures daily whether these things are so. And I remember when I was being taught those things, I said, well, I can't put them together. I can't get that interpretation, but these are more learned men than I, perhaps. As I grow older, I will be able to do it. But in Matthew chapter 19, look at verse 23. We're trying to see if there's any difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. Verse 23. And Jesus said unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, it is hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Now, what is the difference in the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God in verses 23 and 24? You say there's none. They are used interchangeably. Of course. And you will find, and I told you this last week, whenever in Matthew he says the kingdom of the heaven, you'll find the identical verse in Mark and in Luke, the kingdom of God. Matthew sees fit to speak of his throne is established in the heavens, and he uses the residence of God, the abode of God. He says the kingdom of the heavens, the White House, whereas Mark and Luke and John say God, the kingdom of God. They speak of God himself. And the only difference is its usage. Because I have been told, and you must see from the scripture, that this distinction will not hold up, that the kingdom of heaven is the sphere of profession, And the kingdom of God is reality. Well, then why does it not say in verse 23, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven? I thought if it's the sphere professional, a man has to do is to make profession and he gets in. But here the kingdom of heaven is reality. It's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. That means reality. And it's hard for a rich man who trusts in riches to enter the kingdom of God. They are used interchangeably. It is not what difference is in the word heaven and God itself. It is what the context tells us about. And at times, the kingdom of God, a man can enter it by a profession, and it can be false. And a man can enter the kingdom of heaven, and it can be a profession, or it can be reality. Let me show you. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, and look at verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. Is this a profession? Is it? If I say, Lord, is that professing? Yes. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. I see. And so here the kingdom of heaven is reality. And here is a man that makes profession, but he's not going to enter into. You understand? I can't take more time telling you that, but just check out all the references when a person tells you that, and it is good, because there is a difference when a man makes a profession, and when a man who makes a profession, that profession is real. They both enter the kingdom of heaven, and they both enter the kingdom of God, because they both contain the sphere of profession and reality. For this reason, in Matthew 13, the sower went forth to sow, and in that kingdom, there are those who are furious. There are those who believe for a while. You understand? You say they believe for a while. Well, they've entered the kingdom. And in Mark, he speaks of the same parable. The sower went forth to sow, and it's the kingdom of God. And they believe for a while, and they've entered the kingdom of God. But they believe for a while, and in time of persecution, they fall away. So it will not stand up. When anyone challenges you, it's most embarrassing when you want to bring forth your strong reason and you turn to the scripture itself and the scripture embarrasses you. You do not misrepresent the word of God or else you will be made a fool and found a liar. Now, do not believe in the opinions of men, but just what God says. All right, I told you what the kingdom of heaven, of the heavens and the kingdom of God means. Let me show you one more. I told you from Psalm 103, verse 19. Now turn to Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4. We're trying to find out what the kingdom of the heavens means. I told you it means the rule of God. The kingdom of the heavens means the rule of God. Now, in Daniel chapter 4, look at verse 17. The sentence is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the Holy Ones to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will and setteth up over it the basis, the lowest of men. Listen again. What is the kingdom? It says that these things are for the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom. Notice, the Most High ruleth in the kingdom. I told you the kingdom of God is the rule of God. Here it is again. It says in Psalm 103, he established his throne in the heaven and he ruleth over all. Here again, it says, the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basis of men. The kingdom of God is God's kingdom, the sphere over which he rules, the rule of God. And we pray, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so there is the rule of God in heaven, and there is the rule of God on earth. And we read in Daniel 4 that God rules in the kingdom of men. And we read in Psalm 103 that God ruleth over all. And so he rules over heaven and he rules over earth. And the Lord Jesus said it this way, I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. The Lord Jesus said, the kingdom of God, God ruleth over all. And he said, I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. And he said it at a significant time when he had performed his greatest miracle, and they did not repent. And the Lord Jesus said, I thank you, Lord of heaven and earth. Now, that brings us to the word, not only the kingdom of God, but to you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, the mystery of the kingdom of the heavens. You'll find that mysteries is in the plural in Matthew, in singular in Mark, the mystery of God, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And so there are mysteries, and there is the mystery of the kingdom of God. What I'm going to do is to give you a definition of the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Now notice, follow me, I told you that the kingdom of the heaven is the rule of the God of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is the rule of heaven, the rule of God. He reigns over all. Now, the mysteries of the kingdom of the heaven are these. And I'll have to tell you the meaning of the first word at the risk of thinking you know what it means, but in case you do not, remember. Do you know what an enigma is? And in case you do not, an enigma is something that is inscrutable, unfathomable. It cannot be comprehended. And so an enigma is that. And so listen to this. The mysteries of the kingdom are the enigmas surrounding each aspect of the rule of God as it progresses through all history. I will say it once more. The mysteries of the kingdom are the enigmas surrounding each aspect of the rule of God as it progresses through all history. Now, you might not appreciate that now, but as you look through the meaning of the mysteries, then you shall. This is why the rule of God is next spoken of as the mysteries of the rule of God. You say, what mysteries are there about the rule of God? Everybody knows that God rules. Well, that's so strange to me that you would think that. If the Lord Jesus is performing miracles to convince men, to make them repent, and they do not repent, does that seem to you as if God is ruling on earth as he's ruling in heaven? Let me ask you. If the Lord Jesus, the sower, went forth to sow, and as he sows, some seed fall by the wayside, and the birds of the heaven swoop down and devour them, does that sound as if God is ruling on earth and in heaven? You say, no. And if the Lord Jesus sows good seed in his field, and the devil comes and sows tares in his field, does that sound to you as if God is ruling on earth and he's ruling in heaven? You say, it does seem rather strange. And Daniel said that God ruleth in the kingdom of man, giveth it to whomsoever he will, raiseth up and setteth over it the basis of man. I see. And so all of those things are not a mystery to you? Well, they are to every other person who reads Matthew chapter 13. How is this thing? How is it that all of these things that God wants are not accomplished? How is it that instead of the right, the wrong, instead of light, darkness, how is it all of these things are mysteries? They are enigmas
that surrounds each aspect of the rule of God as it progresses through history. Why, in Genesis chapter 12, does God suddenly say, Abraham, I want you? Why a Jew? Why a Hebrew? Why not a Gentile such as we? And then, why Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated? All of these things are enigmas. They are mysteries, and the Lord Jesus says, to you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And I mention the rule of God as it progresses through all history because we have the Lord Jesus at the beginning of the history of the gospel. He is the one who does the sowing. But it says, the harvest is the end of the age. You see? We have the mysteries, the enigmas from the very first as they progress through to the consummation of the age. And the Lord Jesus says to you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens. And so he is explaining these things to us. Having told you that, if you are wondering why this happened, and the Lord Jesus gives you the explanation, then you know the mystery of this aspect of the kingdom of heaven. But if after he tells you, you say, well, I still don't understand, and I don't see why God, that makes no difference. If the Lord Jesus has told you, this is what is going to happen. As Paul says, he that will live godly shall suffer persecution. You say, that's strange. Why does God reward the evil and let the man who does good suffer persecution? It doesn't matter. If God has said, the mystery is that it does happen. Here is the explanation to the mystery. He gives you the explanation and you have to understand it. Because Paul speaks not only of the mysteries, but he adds this, you may perceive my understanding of the mystery. Now, you can learn all the mysteries, but you may not understand them. That's why the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 13 and in Mark and Luke is explaining these things to the disciples. So that when it happens, they will not seem enigmatical, inscrutable, but they will see that everything is going along precisely as the Lord Jesus explained it. Listen to what Peter says. He says, brethren, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that trieth you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. And then he goes on to tell why. If he tells you why this fiery trial is happening, then he's explained. It's no longer a mystery. But some people are not satisfied with the explanation that Christ gives, or Paul gives, or Peter gives. The Lord can do nothing about that. The Lord says, yes, it's a mystery. Well, I'm going to tell you. It did not just happen, but this is the way that I, who rule in heaven and on earth, this is the way that I'm telling you that things are going to happen. I'm explaining these things to you. And so the Lord Jesus gives the interpretation of the parable, but then he leaves it for you to understand them, and he leaves it for you to exercise your faith in the way that the rule of God progresses and succeeds or fails as we go through time to the consummation of age. But we are not to go through this time not wondering or wondering what will happen, not knowing what is going to happen next. The Lord tells us all of this. You see, the ministers of Satan scattered throughout the world. You say, how is that? That is no mystery. That's to be expected. The Lord Jesus sowed good seed in his field while men slept. An enemy came and sowed tares. And the Lord Jesus explained all of those things. And so the mystery of God, the mystery of the kingdom of God, that is all of it combined into one. But when it says in Matthew 13, unto you it's given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens, he breaks down this mystery into each aspect. And that is why I said the mystery of the kingdom of the heavens consists of the enigmas surrounding each aspect of the rule of God. So what you do is to take the whole, and it's the mystery of the kingdom. Each aspect is described as the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And in Matthew chapter 13, the Lord Jesus gives us one, whereas in Luke, he only gives us one parable, the parable of the sower in chapter 8. But in Matthew, he gives us the aspects. He gives us the sower, the wheat and the tares, or the mustard seed, the leaven. He gives us the treasure in the field, the pearl of great price, the dragnet cast into the sea. He gives us all these aspects of the mysteries, and he explains three out of the seven. And then he gives us a parabolic illustration. And if he has explained three of the seven and we still do not understand, if we say it's still a mystery to me, then it will have to remain a mystery, because this is all that the Lord is going to tell you for now. But he has begun to tell you. And he expects his ministers to grasp these things, to understand the course of the age, satanic activity. Now let me break down the aspects. Notice, when it says, the sower went forth to sow. Here is the Lord Jesus. Here is the man, Christ Jesus, who is sowing. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came down and devoured them. Now, Satan is introduced. Now, we have seed falling in good ground. These are God's children introduced. Take these three aspects, the Son of Man, and then you will find great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. This is how the Lord Jesus came into the earth. He is that man. And it says, great is the mystery of lawlessness, the mystery of iniquity. He takes Satan and his activities, and he breaks it down. And then you have those that are saved, and then the Lord Jesus tells us about the saved Jew and the saved Gentile. He breaks down these things, but all of it is the mystery of the kingdom of God, or the mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens. He can break it down. And as he introduces each character, each development, it is a mystery, but he explains it to us in brief, in the Gospels, and then the Apostle Paul will take it up in the epistles and develop it more and more. He will tell us more about this man who is the sower. He will tell us more about this man who is an enemy that sowed tares in the field. He will tell us more about the Jews that respond to the gospel and those who do not, and the Gentiles who do. He will tell us about all of those things. And as the Lord Jesus speaks about treasures brought out, new and old, the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, let a man account of us as ministers of Christ, as stewards of the mysteries of God. And so you may hold me responsible to possess the mysteries of God and to expound them to you. And as God enables, I shall. These are our responsibilities. Mine to explain them to you, but yours to grasp them and live by them when I do explain them to you. I shall fulfill mine by God's grace. You fulfill yours. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, known unto thee are all things, the end from the beginning. In your grace, you have seen fit to reveal unto us these mysteries. Indeed, they would remain mysteries, but these mysteries have been revealed unto us through the Spirit. We thank you, Father, for all of these introductory mysteries of the kingdom, and then the later mysteries as thy Spirit guides into all truth. And so let us remember that thy Son said, if you understand them, they are like treasure. And so let us indeed be greedy of heavenly treasure. And I would have it so. But then, having given us that treasure, let us bring out of our treasure and impart to others things new and old. Let us treasure thy mysteries, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.